Well, good morning. Soon will be afternoon. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12. Two stories this morning, both linked together. One, a story of the disciples of Jesus and Jesus himself walking through the grain fields on a Sabbath day. And the second story is a healing of a man with a withered hand. These are linked, the stories together, and there's lessons for us. As well, it is a critical time in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a pivotal time. Like a door swinging on its hinges to either be closed or open, so this period of time here, these stories, they are a pivotal time in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read then from verse 1. We'll just read, first of all, for introduction, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. Then verse 2. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." The point of contention here is the Sabbath day. We're going to look at what the Sabbath means, its original purpose, and what its spiritual significance is for us even today, illustrated by these stories that we have, these two stories of the disciples satisfying their hunger, and then the healing of a man who has a withered hand. Before we begin, let's open in with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for your grace and your goodness to us. Lord, that great plan of salvation that was considered in the councils, in your councils from all eternity past, and brought forward, Lord, in detail, in reality, here below, in the lives of men and women whom you've created for yourself. Now, Lord, we pray today as we look into your word, we pray that those lessons, message, might strike into every heart, that we might benefit, Lord, to the full extent that you want to benefit us in your love and in your grace. So, Father, we ask your blessing now upon your word. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen. So the picture is very simple. Disciples following the Lord Jesus in his ministry. They had been out preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They had gone through the villages of Israel. They'd gone to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and announced the good news of the kingdom. The king has come. Repent and receive your king. But wherever they went, whatever signs they were given to accomplish, whatever healings that they were given by God to do as a sign of the king and of the healings and the words of our Lord Jesus up to this point, they had no real effect upon the nation. Although they were like sheep without a shepherd, scattered, there was the weak, there was sorrows, yet they did not come to the Lord Jesus. A few did, a little remnant gathered around him, but in the main, the nation, and especially instigated by their leaders, they had rejected the king. And one of the strongest points of contention was the fact that the Lord Jesus often used to heal on the Sabbath day. It violated their strict interpretation of the law, and it violated what they thought was one of the most important things in the law itself, was to keep the Sabbath day. They had their interpretation was that they had brought the people into bondage and restriction on the Sabbath day, when God meant it to be a time of rest, of restoration, and of spiritual worship. So they brought the people into bondage. So here we have the picture. Now I can see the disciples weary. They're walking through the cornfield, or the grain field rather, and they're hungry. And so they begin to pluck the heads of the ripened grain in their hands. And then they would rub the husks off and they would eat the raw kernels. I remember doing that as a boy on the prairies. Sometimes we'd try to satisfy our hunger. We didn't have all these snacks that they had today. We had to wait for supper. My mother used to instruct us, if you're hungry, go out into the rhubarb patch and get rhubarb. Yeah, anybody know what rhubarb is like, raw rhubarb? It's pretty, it satisfies you pretty fast, because it's a very sour fruit. Anyway, we used to sometimes do that, rub it and eat the raw kernels. It was on the Sabbath day, and as I said, this is an extreme point of contention with the lawyers, the Pharisees. Look, your disciples are doing what's not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. Now, the detail here isn't given to us about them rubbing it in their hands, but in Luke chapter 6, we read that little detail there. If you'll turn there, chapter 6 and verse 1 of Luke. Now, it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. Further, there's another detail that's given to us in this verse, that he says it's the second Sabbath after the first. The new year commenced the month Abib, which is the first month of the year. The first Sabbath is the 7th. The second Sabbath is the 14th. The 14th day of the first month, you remember, is what? It's Passover. It's the time, as far as the grain is concerned, when the priests would inspect the harvest. And then they would pluck the first ripe fruits of the harvest of grain, and they would wave them before the Lord on the day after the Sabbath. It was a picture of resurrection. Passover, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what's pictured there. The Sabbath after, he is in the grave. And then the first day of the week, we have the resurrection from the dead. So Luke gives us a detail here that the timing that the disciples were going through the cornfields was on the Sabbath day and this Sabbath day after the Passover. Interesting. Why would Luke record that? Well, it was important. The Lord was on a mission. He was going to go to the cross. He was the one that would there lay down his life. He would be the kernel of wheat that would fall into the ground and die and then bring forth much fruit in order to be able to feed the entire world with his salvation. He was the bread that came down from heaven to give life to the world. So that wheat that they were eating there in the cornfield satisfied their immediate needs, physical needs. But there was a far greater need for spiritual hungry. And that was to be satisfied with the life of God himself. Now, it's interesting then what the Lord says to these disciples, or these Pharisees. They said, it's not lawful for them to do that. Stop them from satisfying their hunger. Isn't that the devil's way of doing it? I ask you this morning, perhaps you are hungry spiritually. The devil is going to say, no, you can't satisfy your hunger that way. That's really the devil's work. Well, how does he answer? The Lord Jesus says to them in verse 3, again back to Matthew chapter 12. He said, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him? How he entered into the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. So the Lord gives now three reasons why this was indeed lawful, that the law allowed it. Three reasons. But first, I'd like to just give a little explanation on what the Sabbath means. What does the Sabbath mean? There are some so-called Christians today that say that you must keep the Sabbath day because it's in the law. Well, it is in the law that was given to Israel, not before Moses gave the law to Israel. The law of Sabbath was not mentioned from Adam all the way to Moses. Abraham didn't necessarily keep the Sabbath. It wasn't anything that they religiously kept as a means of approving themselves to God. The Sabbath is a day of God's rest. Remember in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read that God finished the work that he made, and God on the sixth day, and on the seventh day, he rested from all his works. And so the Sabbath looks back to the time when God had completed his work of creation. And everything was done. He commanded, it stood fast. There was nothing more that you could add to creation. It had been completed. Every atom was in place in his perfect universe. But this Sabbath was brought forward when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. As a matter of fact, it was on the Sabbath that they came out of Egypt. It was the day after, you remember, the Passover, that they came out of Egypt was a Sabbath. the Sabbath day. And they made their journey. How far did they travel that first day? I don't know, but it was certainly a lot more than the Pharisees would allow. But they came out. It was a picture of redemption. And so God wanted them to remember the Sabbath day, not only because he had created the world and finished, but that he had brought them out of Egypt. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 31. He says there in verse 12, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And then verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. Verse 12 and 13, it's a review of the Ten Commandments. Moses reviews the Ten Commandments before the children of Israel go into the Promised Land. After the 40 years have expired and they're ready to go into the land, he reviews the Ten Commandments to them, and he gives a reason why the Sabbath, another reason why the Sabbath must be observed. In verse 15, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So it was on the Sabbath day that he brought them out. He wanted to remind them, number one, that he had created them, that he had sanctified them, and that he had brought them out of the land of Egypt, out from slavery. They had been redeemed to him as a people. And it was a sign to them. It was for the nation. Now, the Ten Commandments, of all the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath law is different from the others. The others are all moral laws. They have an effect every time and place. We know that we should not steal. Our consciences tell us that. Or commit adultery. Or covet. Those are moral laws. But the Sabbath is a ceremonial law. It's the only law that is not repeated in the New Testament. The New Testament, all the other laws are repeated there, not as a rule of life, but whenever the law touches us as Christians, it condemns us. That's what the law is meant to do. It means it condemns us. We're not to follow the law. We have a new head, and that is Christ himself. For me to live is Christ, Paul could say. Not for me to live is keeping the law. For by the law that no righteousness can be produced. The law is a condemnation. So wherever the law touches us in the New Testament as Christians, it's a condemnation of our practices, of what we're doing, and we need to repent. But it won't help us. We don't live by the law. That's not our rule of life. We look to Christ, not to the law that's written. As soon as you begin to look to laws, then you fall out of grace. That's what the book of Galatians is all about. And so remember that. It's not keeping rules. It's not keeping the laws. And so that just aside for us to remember. Back to Matthew chapter 12. The Lord doesn't argue with them from Scripture. Instead, what he does is he shows that as the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath is a ceremonial law, there are reasons to supersede that. There's sometimes that ceremonial law should be put aside for certain reasons. First, he says, is remember David. David was the anointed of the Lord. And he was being chased by Saul. And he was fleeing. It was no normal time. He was the Lord's anointed, or in rejection. And he and his men were hungry. And they came to the priest. And they said, David said, could we have some of that showbread? Now, that showbread were 12 loaves of bread that were placed new every week into the tabernacle on the table of showbread. That was replaced with fresh bread every week. So what he was asking is, that bread that's been taken down this week, could we have it to satisfy our hunger? And the priest said, yes, under certain conditions, which they met, and he ate that showbread. So what Jesus is saying to those Pharisees is, there was a necessity, and so that superseded the ceremonial law. Now, Jesus was with his disciples, and he and his disciples are in rejection. He was the anointed of God. And so that the ceremonial law too could be set aside. We know the Lord Jesus kept the Sabbaths. Like any good Jew, he was very careful of keeping the law of Moses. But he said this was a greater need here, a necessity that they needed to satisfy their hunger. And then he says in verse 5, or he says, have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple, they profane the Sabbath, and they're blameless? In other words, the priests who have to minister in the tabernacle or later in the temple, that work that they're doing on the Sabbath day, strictly speaking, as far as the Pharisees were concerned, was illegal. But they didn't recognize that, but the Lord points that out to them. And that had a very persuasive point. There was a great need of service that needed to be performed. And it was service to God that needed to be performed. And so that superseded the letter of that ceremonial law, keeping that law. And then he says in verse 6, yet I say to you that in this place there was one greater than the temple. Talk about a need. The priests, they ministered in the temple. But Jesus was there, his disciples were ministering to him, and he was greater than the temple. And then he says there in verse 7, but if you had known that what this means, I desire, he quotes now from the Old Testament scripture in Hosea. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You wouldn't have condemned the guiltless. If you had known what God was saying through the prophet Hosea, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Mercy comes before sacrifice. Now, keeping the Sabbath, there's a certain amount of sacrifice that's necessary, because you couldn't cook on, you couldn't light a fire on the Sabbath, and you shouldn't. It was a day of complete rest. So there was a sense in which there was a sacrifice where you laid aside your normal activities, and so you sacrificed that. But God said, no, mercy supersedes sacrifice. And then he goes on to say, and we'll comment more on that later, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Lord himself in his actions often healed on the Sabbath, because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Because in mercy, he meets human need. And then our second story begins with a man in the synagogue on the Sabbath day when they gathered together. He had a withered hand, and he's going to show mercy. It's a demonstration of the third point. So, just to reiterate, the Lord has three reasons why the ceremonial law of Sabbath can be set aside, or could be set aside for the Jew. Number one, out of necessity, the great need, the hunger to be met. Secondly, in service to the Lord. And thirdly, in mercy. Verse 9, now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. A man with a withered hand. Is it not fitting that this man had a withered hand? You remember the disciples, how they satisfied their hunger? They rubbed the grain in their hands to eat. This man could not feed himself. In this pathetic condition, those Pharisees would rather to have that man remain in that position and in that condition on the Sabbath day. Why didn't they feed him, his disciples? Why didn't the disciples, the Pharisees say, look, we realize now your disciples are hungry. We feel they shouldn't be eating on the Sabbath day. But bring them to our place. We'll feed them. No. Never, the thought never crossed their minds. Their hardened hearts. It was all outward show. It was all religiosity. I don't know how to translate that. Sorry, Phoebe. It was all religious action with no mercy. And so the Lord says, he repeats the question, and he asks, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. They asked him, rather, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might have. It's like they're egging him on so that they can accuse him. Because they knew that he was going to heal this man. Because he'd always done that before. The Lord always meets the need. Always. Wherever he came. Whatever need it might be. Even a word of comfort. A touch to a leper, a healing, raising a widow's only son from the dead. Whatever need there was, feeding the 5,000, the Lord always met that need. And he can still do that today. So they ask him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Because they're looking for some reason to accuse him. They were egging him on. They were trying to incite him. Now, when he said to them, he asked them a very pointed question. What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? Why, of course, because it affected their pocketbook. If that sheep died in the pit without water and sustenance, that would cost them something. And so they probably had an explanation for it, an excuse why they could pull out a sheep on a Sabbath day. But the Lord then, in his wisdom, silences their thoughts by saying, of how much more value then is a man than sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Well, there's a decision that has to be made here. The Pharisees and the Lord now watch what the reaction of this man will be. The Lord didn't say, he didn't heal the man and say, your hand is healed. No. The man has to make a conscious decision to go against his own reason, the withered hand, the law of the Pharisees. Would he work on the Sabbath day and to move his hand out? That was a decision that he had to make. And he stretched it out, it says. And it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. They had their reason now. They had what they wanted to do to accuse him. Healing on the Sabbath day. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Oh, God is a God of mercy. But I like to go back to that phrase there in verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He created the heavens and the earth. He rested himself on the Sabbath. He created not only the heavens and the earth, but he created a rest. That day of rest was created for man. The Sabbath was not made for man, man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for the man, the Lord says in another place. Or the Sabbath was made for man, rather. Which way did I get that now? Whatever it is, I think you understand that the Sabbath was God's provision for man to be able to have a day of rest. But here, there's a spiritual lesson. Just as the children of Israel were redeemed out of Egypt on the Sabbath day, so the Lord Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Notice the verses just before this chapter. In other words, they were really a prefix to this chapter. I'd like to read them for you. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. In context of the Sabbath day now and what we've been talking about, listen very carefully. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm gentle, lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. That's the invitation that the Lord gives. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. That when the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, that was his aim. That was the goal. That was the end point. That was his whole purpose in coming, was to go there to accomplish a redemption for all mankind. It would be there that he would finish the work that his Father had given him to do. It was there that he would lay down that perfect life as a sacrifice. And there, by his own blood, he would enter into the holiest place in heaven, having obtained eternal redemption. And now, today, there is a rest. There's a rest in that finished work of Christ. You cannot add to that work. You cannot take away from that work. It's an eternal, perfect work that was accomplished by Christ on the cross for you and for me. Have you entered into that rest? Have you entered into God's real Sabbath? There is a real place of rest. Rest from guilt of sin. Rest from worry and trials of this world. You can enter into that rest. The Lord Jesus said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There are those that would profane that rest by saying you have to keep the Sabbath in order to obtain that rest. No, it's not the observed Sabbath. It's the Sabbath of rest that he has already paid for, that he has made. He not only created the universe, but he also redeemed the universe. And that Sabbath rest is a spiritual rest that can only be entered into by faith in God's beloved Son and the work that he accomplished there at Calvary 2,000 years ago. May the Lord help each one of you today. Be assured in your heart that you have entered that rest, not striving to add to that in some way, some religious activity, going to church or praying or reading your Bible. It doesn't matter. The real answer is, have you entered into that rest? How do I enter into that rest? Simple. Come to me, Jesus said. I will give you rest. May the Lord help each one of us. And as for Christians, he says now there is a rest for Christians beyond the spiritual rest of salvation. It's the rest, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Walk with me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and in your service you'll find rest for your souls. He has made that wonderful provision, the Lord of the rest, the Lord of the great day of God's rest. And you can enter into that and enjoy that rest today. Father, we thank you once again for your goodness and mercy to us. What a merciful God you are to supply such a salvation. What a sacrifice that needed to be made in order to procure it for us. But Lord, we thank you once again. And if there's anyone, Lord, that is still outside of Jesus, still struggling spiritually, trying to please you with some works of their own, we pray they may just lay down their arms and receive that rest that only you can give. So, Father, we thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.